All right, with that being said, let's dive into the Word of God. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 21. We're going to be looking at verses 17 to 25, or we're going to finish up this chapter and finish up the Gospel of John. And Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to share your heart with the hearts of your people. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us and give us the sense, the understanding, and the truths of your word, Lord, may be engraved upon our hearts that we might not sin against thee. And Lord, we're so grateful that you brought us here to hear this word today in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 21, looking at verses 17 to 25, the title of this message is Rumors. Rumors. Now, by way of definition, a rumor is a currently circulating story or report of uncertain or doubtful truth. And unfortunately, there's no one here who has not been negatively affected by some sort of rumor that's been circulating about us. And now, because of the popularity of social media, a rumor can have devastating consequences in our lives. And this is what we will see in the life of the Apostle John. He will deal with and correct the rumor that was going around about what Jesus said to him. Now, last week I talked about how I believe that the Gospel of John ended in chapter 20 and verse 31. And that the purpose of chapter 21 was twofold. Number one, to restore Peter. And then number two, to correct a rumor. And we saw Jesus begin the process of restoring Peter in verse 15 when he asked Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And then Jesus said, feed my lambs. Then in verse 16, Jesus asked Peter a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And then Jesus said, tend my sheep. Now we pick up the story in verse 17. Look what it says there. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, oh, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now, Jesus said to Peter a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? We talked about last week how Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? And Jesus used the Greek word agape, which is the highest expression of love. It speaks of selfless love. But Peter responded by saying, Lord, you know that I love you, using the Greek word phileo, which is brotherly love. In other words, Peter was saying, Lord, you know that I love you like a brother. Now, in this third time, when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Jesus used the word phileo, just like Peter did. Jesus was saying, Peter, do you even love me like a brother? And then at the end of this verse, it says that Peter was grieved when he said to him a third time, do you love me? Well, the word grieve in the Greek language is lupeo, and it's a word that means to sorrow or to cause pain to or to grieve. It is the same Greek word that's used in Ephesians 4:30 when it says, do not grieve the Spirit of God by whom you're sealed to the day of redemption. In other words, whenever we sin, the Spirit of God that lives in us is grieved. We cause pain to the Spirit of God. This is the same word that is used here in Peter. Peter was grieved. Now, why is it that Peter was pained? He was grieved when Jesus said to him a third time. Because it reminded him of how he denied the Lord three times. And at this point, Peter was done trying to prove how much he loved the Lord and said at the end of this verse, Lord, you know all things. You know that I am as unstable as water. This is why you're calling me by my old name, Simon. Lord, you know that I denied you three times by a fire very similar to this one here. And Jesus tells Peter a third time to feed my sheep. Oh, I'm sure that Peter was blown away that Jesus still wanted to use him in feeding his sheep and his lambs. And as I mentioned last week, true love for God is seen in getting involved in serving God's sheep by either feeding them or tending to their needs. There's a lot of people who say, I love the Lord, but they're not involved in serving God's sheep. They're not involved in tending to his sheep or feeding his lambs. This is how true love is seen. A lot of people can say, I love the Lord, but what it is, you're just loving him with your lips only. Just like Jesus said, they draw near to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And we see this all of the time. A lot of people claiming to love the Lord, but they sit in a chair very similar to this one. And they don't feed God's sheep, or they don't tend to his lambs. So true love is seen. You're involved with God's sheep, either tending to them or feeding them. He said, this is how love is truly, truly seen. The Lord is saying here to Peter, let me use you. I know that you have blown it, but I still want to use you. Oh, someone here has, you were once involved in serving God's people and ministry, and you've blown it like Peter did. Oh, let me just tell you that there is forgiveness and restoration waiting for you with Jesus Christ. He wants to use you. Remember, Jesus is restoring Peter back into ministry. And this chapter is so important, not only to Peter, but to the Peters throughout the centuries who will blow it in ministry. Oh, if it were not for this chapter, how would we ever know Peter was restored? We would just say, you know what? Hey, you can serve the Lord, but you better not blow it. Because if you blow it, God is through with you. Hey, just look at Peter. Oh, see, because we have chapter 21, we can say, oh, Peter was restored. He was restored back, and somebody needs to be restored back in the ministry. Restored back to serving God's people in the ministry. Oh, this is what this is saying here, and this is what we see here. Now, what amazes me is how Jesus decided to restore Peter by a fire to remind him that it was by a fire that he denied the Lord. Peter shows us the dangers of trying to get warm by the fires of this world. You end up, and we will end up getting burned. We will end up compromising our walks with the Lord and ultimately denying him like Peter did here. Here's the thing. When we try to get warm by the fires of this world, we will see that we don't fit in. And because, just like Peter, our speech will betray us, just like it says in Matthew 26 and verse 73. You remember it said that Peter warmed himself by the fire, and they said, aren't you a Galilean? He said, no, I'm not a Galilean. They said, oh, you're a Galilean because your speech betrays you. When we try to get warm and try to get cozy with the fires and the people of this world, our speech will betray us. Something about Christianity, about God, about the Bible is going to come out, and our speech is going to betray us. And you know what they're going to say to us? I thought you were a Christian. Didn't you say you were a Christian? Then what are you doing here? Why are you saying that? Why are you going there? See, that's their way, because some kind of way our speech is going to betray us. So which fire are you going to get warmed by? The fires of this world, which speaks of and which leads to denial, or the fires of Jesus that leads to restoration? Come to the fires of Jesus to be restored. See, we have this need to fit in. Oh, it's not just for our teenagers, our junior hires and high schoolers. All we are adult junior hires and high schoolers. We have the need to fit in as well. And but when you try to fit in with this world, our speech is going to betray us. We're going to end up getting burned. And we're going to end up ultimately compromising our walk with the Lord. Whenever you want to fit into this world, realize your belief system, your morals, your biblical stand, you're going to compromise some kind of way in order to fit in. So be very careful. Somebody's trying to fit in today. Somebody's trying to fit in on the job. You see the little group together, and you're trying to get in with them. And let me tell you something. When you fit in, realize what's going to be compromised? Your walk with the Lord and your biblical standards. Just know it. Just know it. And God's going to make sure you know about it, but he's going to have them say, aren't you a Christian? I thought you said you were, and their face all crunched up. I thought you said you were a Christian. That's their way of saying your stand for Christianity and what you're doing right now or saying doesn't match. And you're going to have to compromise. So don't do it. I'm here to tell you, don't do it. Look at verses 18 and 19. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he will glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Now, whenever Jesus starts off in the Gospel of John that we've already been looking at throughout the book, whenever he starts out with most assuredly, I say to you, he's about to introduce an important truth. He is telling Peter, when you were younger, you girded yourself and you walked where you wish. In other words, when you were younger, you wanted to give your life for me, but you didn't. You denied me three times. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Then verse 19 explains that verse by saying that verse 19 tells us that this refers to the death that he will go through to glorify God. Now, Tertullian, one of the early church fathers writing in the 3rd century, reported that Peter was crucified under Caesar Nero. And later it was Eusebius, who was another church father, who added that Peter was crucified upside down. He goes on to write that when persecution broke out against the Christians, they looked at Peter as the leader. So when they found him and led him away to be crucified, he objected by saying, I am not worthy to die the same way as my Lord did. So they crucified him upside down, just like Jesus tells Peter in these verses. When you see the phrase, and you will stretch out your hands, that was a phraseology at that time to signify crucifixion. And then the amazing thing is Jesus said at the end of verse 19, follow me. Oh, this is powerful here. Here's the question that all of us must answer. Can we still follow Jesus if he told us this? In other words, if Jesus told you in advance some gruesome way that you would die, would you still follow Jesus? Or would you bail out on Christianity? If the Lord told you that you would die at the hands of ISIS, could you still follow Jesus? Oh, this is a question we got to search our own hearts about. Notice how Jesus tells Peter that his death of being crucified upside down was a death that will glorify him. Verse 19 says, this he spoke, signifying by what death he will glorify God. Oh, I believe that many Christians, especially here in America, will bail out on Christianity. Because Christianity here in America just consists of, just say you believe in God and come to church occasionally or whenever it's convenient for you. And that's Christianity here in America. Or Christianity here in America consists of obtaining more things in this life. Wealth, health, prosperity. And that's what we hear coming from Christianity today. And this is why I said that most people, especially here in America, will bail out on Christianity if Jesus told us this. I'm just ashamed at how we look to the rest of the world as far as Christianity is concerned here in America. Because for our belief system, I just believe in God and come to church whenever it's convenient. Read your Bible. I really need to do that. Pray occasionally, and that's Christianity here in America. Or you will hear some big-time folks coming over TV saying, no, health and wealth and prosperity, and God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be well. All you got to do is name it and claim it and blab it and grab it, and it's yours. And so if the Lord were to tell you that this is the way you're going to die, oh, I didn't sign up for that. No. And we will bail out on Christianity. And most of us would. Most of us would. Now, I believe that Peter got to thinking about what Jesus said to him. And even for him, it was a hard pill to swallow. Look at verses 20 and 21. It said, then Peter turned it around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, who's the one who betrays you? And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, But Lord, what about this man? Now, Peter got to thinking about what Jesus said and turned around in verse 20 to John and asked Jesus in verse 21, But Lord, what about this man? Now, here's the thing. Jesus didn't tell Peter how John would be boiled in oil in the city of Ephesus. And because he didn't die, they exiled him on the island of Patmos. And the reason why Jesus didn't tell Peter this, you know why? Mark this. It was none of his business. That's why. This is a reminder that we need to get our eyes off of other people. Everyone goes through tough times. Many times we don't see them go through it. So often the Lord will not show us what others go through because it is none of our business. Oh, 1 Corinthians 10:13 said, there is no temptation that is overtaking you, but watch this, but such as is common to man. So don't start saying no one has it as hard or as bad as I do. For Peter, he was crucified upside down. For John, he was boiled in oil and then exiled on the island of Patmos. However, it was while he was on this rocky island, feeling isolated, feeling abandoned, no doubt feeling even abandoned by God himself, that God gave him the book of Revelation. Oh, we love the book of Revelation to hear about those end time events and the things that God is doing today. It was prophesied that it was going to happen in the book of Revelation. We love the book of Revelation, but the book of Revelation he received as he was on the island of Patmos. As he was isolated, as he felt abandoned, as he felt forsaken by God, that's where he got the book of Revelation. And I just wonder what God wants to reveal to us. As we feel isolated, as we feel abandoned, for us here in America, somebody said, I hate Christianity. Oh, I've been persecuted for righteousness' sake. We fall into pieces. Oh, I hurt my finger. Oh, the trials I got to go through. They're having a tough time in their marriage. Oh, the cross I must bear. And all this kind of mess we're saying here, and the people in the rest of the world are like, Americans, are y'all serious? Are y'all for real? You call that persecution? You call that having a tough time? Because they said, they're making me work overtime. So, oh, my goodness. Can't believe the things I have to go through in life. Like, are you for real? But it's during these times that we need to press into the presence of God, because you never know what God wants to reveal to you through this. For John, it was the book of Revelation. I wonder what he wants to reveal to you and to me as we go through these sort of things. And so now, how did Jesus respond to Peter when he asked him, well, what about this man? Oh, look at verses 22 and 23. Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say that he would not die. But if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Now, Jesus tells Peter, he said, if I will that he remain till I come, he said, what is that to you? You follow me. In other words, Jesus is telling Peter, get your eyes off of John and keep them on me. Oh, it would seem like Peter always had a problem with keeping his eyes on Jesus. Oh, you remember when he tried to walk on water, walked on water. And then he says when he saw the winds and the waves, he started to sink. He took his eyes off of Jesus. Here's Peter again. taking his eyes off the Lord and putting them on John now. And Jesus said, no, no, you keep your eyes on me. You follow me, Peter. Everyone has their own race to run in Christianity. And we will be held accountable for the race we ran for Christ. And we cannot run our race effectively looking around at everyone else. Oh, we see this recently with the Olympics. You got swimming. He's looking over. What are you doing? And lost. You kidding me? And I just wonder. We cannot run our race effectively looking over at everyone else. You run your race. Don't worry about your neighbor or them, and they seem to always have it easy. Get your eyes off of them. You run your race. Then John, in verse 23, is correcting the rumor that was circulating about him, that Jesus didn't say that he wouldn't die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Now, here's what's amazing. It hit me last service. It just hit me. It must have been Peter who circulated the rumor. Who was there? It was nobody there but Jesus, John, and Peter. It must have been Peter circulated the rumor. Guess what, Andrew? John's not going to die. That was Peter who did that. Who else was around? And then it got around to the other disciples. Guess what? You hear, Bartholomew, you hear? John's not dying. Jesus said, Peter told me. So it's good source. Peter told me. I believe Peter started it. Oh, Pete. Starting rumors. And John had to correct it here. So please keep in mind. You can't chase down every rumor about yourself. You can't. If you do, then that'll be all that you do. And you'll be in business for yourself. Because that's a full-time business. Chasing down every rumor someone said about you, you can't. You can't. You going around for, now who told you that about me? No, Jeffrey. No, I just talked to Jeffrey. He told me that you stop. Cut it out. Quit fooling around. You can't do it. You can't do it. You're being business for yourself. Now, we must make sure that we aren't the ones spreading the rumors and the slander about people either. We have to make sure of that. Oh, here's some verses just to keep us in check. Proverbs 10 and verse 18 says, whoever spreads slander is a fool. Proverbs 20 and verse 19 says, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secret. Here it is. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Oh, all of us been burned by this one. Proverbs 16:28, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Oh, how many friendships have been destroyed by the spreading of gossip and slander. I remember years ago, this guy doing this to me, and I read him this verse, says a whisperer separates the best of friends. Our friendship was severed from that moment on. I was still nice to him, still talked to him, dapped him up. When I saw him, but my lips were sealed around here. Our friendship that we once had was over. The scriptures are true. A whisperer separates the best of friends. Did I forgive him? Sure. But you better believe I'm smarter. I didn't say another word around him. So that friendship that I once had, it was done. I was nice to him, cool. But my lips were sealed. Was sealed. So, but here's the thing. There is something crooked and wicked in our hearts that we love to listen to and spread rumors, gossip, and slander. To show you how deep that goes, there's something wicked in us that love to be the first one to spread it. Okay, you didn't hear? Oh, let me tell you. And there's something wicked in us. So John clears up the rumor by saying that Jesus didn't say that he wouldn't die, but if he willed that he remain till he returns. Notice, what is that to you? And maybe this is what we need to say to people who comes to us with a rumor or slander. What is that to you? You follow Jesus. What does that have to do with you? Okay, you just told me that. What is it?
Well, see, what it has to do with me. Well, see, it affects me this kind of way.
Stop. They would look silly if we just said, what is that to you? You keep following the Lord. Okay, the sky is falling on at their home. What is that to you? You follow the Lord. Oh, somebody needs to hear that today. Because you're running your lips. You've been running your lips lately. And I'm here to tell you, what is that to you? Spreading this rumor, is that going to help you serve, follow Jesus closer? No. What is that to you? Run your race. Or it seems that we are all in the spirit of the Olympics. You stay in your lane. You stay in, stop getting over in everybody else's lane. You'll get disqualified and trip folks up. Folks tripping on you because you all in their lane now. Scarring up shoulders and stuff and tripping. Stay in your lane. What is that to you? Oh, look at verses 24 and 25. This is the disciple who testified these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. John says in verse 24 that he is the one who testified these things, and they are true because he lived them. He said, I'm an eyewitness of these events. You're not getting this secondhand. He said, I was there. I saw these things. I saw these things Jesus did. He said, if all of them were written one by one, he said, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. However, John, through the Holy Spirit, chose these things in this book. So when people read them, they will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And in believing, they may have life in his name. So this is beautiful things. So whenever someone is on the fence about Christianity, they're wondering, always tell them, read the Gospel of John. A new believer, someone just came to faith in Christ, I would tell them, read the Gospel of John, because these things were handpicked by John, the human author, the Holy Spirit, the divine author, to put these things, the things Jesus said, the things that Jesus did, the miracles, the places he went. Some things will overlap in the other Gospels, but there are some specific things in the Gospel of John that's only for the Gospel of John, because they have a target in mind, a goal in mind. So when people read them and say, wow, he did those things, he must be the Christ, the Son of God. And in believing, they will have life in his name. Let me conclude with this. Rumors. Don't get caught up in the listening to nor the spreading of rumors and gossip and slander. And because of social media today, young people and adults are taking their lives. Because of the spread of rumors. I was telling the other services, those who are of my age group, of my ilk and older, our social media, when we used to pass notes in school, here's a note. I remember one time in junior high school, I was writing some note to some little girl, and I know people. And so I got the note back. I said, give me that note back. I ripped it up, put it in the garbage. Another girl tried to get the stuff and tape it together and go tell this other girl I was talking to this. That was the social media in our day. Nowadays, oh my goodness, nowadays, one little picture can be seen by people over in Australia. And because, you know, kids have always been mean. So it's not like kids are mean today. No, they always been mean. We just didn't have social media to show our meanness, how mean we were. But today, people are taking their lives now Because once it's out there, it's out there. It's out there. So let us be very careful about the spreading of this stuff, because it can have devastating consequences. We also saw how it is none of our business what other people go through. Our job is to follow Jesus and do what he has commanded us to do. The question is, are you doing that? Are you staying in your lane? Or are you trying to disqualify other folks by getting in their lane, tripping them up in their race? Stay in your lane. Do what Jesus told you to do. You follow him. Get your eyes off of other people. Well, they seem to always have it easy. You don't know what they go through. You don't know what they're dealing with once that garage door closes, and once that door closes, once those blinds are closed, you don't know what they're going through. Oh, you just see their house, you see their car, you see what they have, and you're like, oh, they have it easy. They have privilege. And let me tell you something, you don't know what they go through. You don't know what they go through. And all that fooling around, talking about who has privilege and all that, you don't know what they go through. You don't know the hassle and the things that folks are dealing with in their lives. You stay in your lane. And I'm going to say what Jesus said. What is that to you? How much privilege they have? What is that to you? You follow Jesus. You run your race. Can't run everybody's race. It's just like my wife tells me all the time. I'm in the car and folks are not using turn signals and fooling around. And so she said, you drive your car. She said, don't worry about that car. You drive your car. But they're affecting me driving my car. Calling me, hit the brakes. And you drive your car. You run your race. Stop worrying about everybody else's race. You follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. Finally, can we still follow Jesus if he told us, like he did Peter, how our death will glorify him? And I believe that we're about to live in the days of severe persecution like we will see with the believers in the book of Acts. It's no coincidence that we're about to study the book of Acts. You know, for many of us up until this day, you know, we see the persecution. We see, you know, pastors being burned alive. We see people's heads being chopped off. And we see all that happening in the Middle East and communist countries. And we say, yeah, that's over there. Let me tell you, it's at the shores of America now. And I believe that we need to be ready to deal with that kind of persecution when it comes here. And by God's grace, I pray I can teach us through the book of Acts so we can be prepared to deal with whatever it is. Because the believers in the book of Acts, they went through something. And we need to be prepared, because as these things are not coming over to America, no, they're at the shores. They're already in America, just sitting in little pockets, waiting to launch some kind of persecution. And the question is, are we ready for such a thing? Are we ready for, are we in a delusional world that just happens overseas? Let me tell you something. It's about to start happening here. And by God's grace, I pray that I can teach you the word of God so we can be prepared to deal with whatever it is that come our way. May God help us. May God help us to be his people in these days that's running our race, that we are following him no matter what. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time in your word. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would engrave this word upon our hearts. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you would do a work in us. Lord, we need you. Lord, we fall so short. Lord, we have used our tongue to spread slander and gossip and rumors. And Lord, forgive us. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be merciful upon us. But Lord, I pray that you would empower us to run our race that you've given us to run. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who has not repented of their sin and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today that they will believe that you died on the cross and was buried and rose again. Your word says if they believe that, they shall be saved. Draw people unto you by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.